I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we're going to go north to the capital region of New York and talk to my friend, Chris Wright. Mr. Wright has so many gems here for all of y'all in real estate and for consumers. There's a lot of stuff you could use too. So sit back, listen up, and enjoy the conversation. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Fantastic. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's okay. You are a busy woman. I give you grace. That's a really nice dress, top you're wearing, whatever.
It's blue and red, so I'm like all the realtor party today. Purple's not my color, so if I can just mix up blue and red, it's close enough.
I hear you.
She's so funny. She handed me her new little marketing piece.
Mm-hmm.
And her name's Tracy Jefferson. I love her so much. And her hashtag is Jeffersold. And I was teaching a class and for Cry Like, and she stood up in the front row and I called out her fan and she did this. I loved her so much, but she's creating raving fans.
I like it.
But I asked her if she'll hand these out in church, because this is better than your usual church fan without a popsicle stick on a piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
This is not going to give you a splinter.
And is she from Memphis?
She is from Memphis and she's the official realtor of the Memphis Tigers. So she's
nice.
And I asked her what they charge her for that. And she told me it wasn't as high as I expected. So I love me some Tracy Jefferson. If you ever get to meet her, she's amazing. So
I'll have to look for her on Instagram or somewhere.
I guess she's on Instagram. I saw her on her neck like three times. And so that's how we cooperated. All right, what's happening in the Wright world?
Oh, man, I'm ramping up my business. Things are great. It's not as hard as I thought it would be.
Oh, wait a minute. Were you telling yourself lies?
I think I was telling myself it was going to be difficult.
Oh, so what did you tell yourself instead? That Chris Wright is the right guy for whatever?
I am the guy. It's like people are calling me. Oh, I'm so glad you're back. Like, I wasn't gone.
And is Donna gloating about all of this? Does she hear you and be like, told you?
She says I talk about myself way too much.
Hey, but she's still married to you. So if you're in this to win it, then it's all her.
Someone told her recently, yeah, I love your husband. He's great. She's like, he's all right.
You're like the fourth double guest I think I've had.
What's a double guest?
You've been on the show more than once.
I've never been on your show.
You were not on my show a couple of seasons ago, seriously?
No. Don't do that thing that you did to the IT guy and search your records, because I know I'm not in there.
No, I knew Burton had been on the show before. I love him so much. But we're based at this point because he has chickens. So we talk about chicken. That's our Instagram. Uh-huh.
I listened to Karen Carr yesterday. She's one of my faves.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
And I was in Santa and didn't even get to see her because we didn't, you know, when you're at a convention, you don't leave the hotel.
Right.
Okay. Well, then I guess I just get to see you in real life. So I thought you had been on the show, but I'm glad you're here for real.
Nope. I did the testimonial for your class, which is awesome.
You know, I guess you probably should tell the listeners and viewers who you are. And I talked about your wife and you tell them who Chris Wright is.
Well, I'm a Chris Wright. I'm a licensed associate broker in upstate New York. Misunderstanding about what upstate New York is. People think as soon as you leave New York City, you're in upstate. But there's upstate, there's the Catskills, there's Adirondacks, there's Central New York, Western New York. I'm in the Albany Capital District and Saratoga Springs region. So that's what we consider upstate New York. So
wait a minute. I thought somebody, you know, my husband's from Western New York, and I thought that the upstate was just everything above the thruway. Is it not just everything above the thruway?
No, people get offended. If you're live in Buffalo or even Rochester, and you say you're upstate, they go, we're not upstate New York. We're Western New York.
Anyway, and Rochester's expensive.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm in the capital region, Albany, Saratoga. So that's where I live and work and play.
And how long have you been in and around real estate and its various functions?
10 years, since the end of 2013.
Have you done a marketing campaign about that?
No, is it time?
You know, the young people talk about dimes all the time. So you could say that you're a dime, and that your wife is a dime and your real estate business is a dime. I had to ask my teenagers, they're like, Mom, it's being a 10. I was like, oh, that's so cute. And now I'm going to use their words as much as possible.
You do. Like last week when you talked about getting in the bag, I died.
Yesterday, my son said it was a flight attendant fit because it had a scarf on. And I was like, you could just say outfit. It doesn't take any more time than saying fit, but whatever. So if you're the dime in real estate,
yeah,
could you get some dimes from the bank and mail it to your past clients? They'd love it. It's like cash in the mail, but it's the dime.
How do you think of this stuff? That is amazing. I could like tape a dime to a thank you card.
I mean, legit, why don't you do that? That'd be so cool.
Done. I got a stack of thank you cards right here, ready to go. You know, a $10 bill would be even better, but you know, well, that's for my special customers.
With inflation, the dime is probably down now, but that's a different discussion.
Exactly.
Okay, so she was in real estate and your bride's in mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
How long has she been in mortgage?
I think it's 2 years now. Started right after the pandemic. Good time, right?
I mean, why not come in when everybody else is leaving? But there's actually some reverse psychology that works there because less than successful ones are giving up, which actually is a market share. You took a little hiatus, but you're coming back into real estate when other people are panicking, but you're finding the market share is still there. So talk about what it's like reconnecting with people that you maybe haven't talked to in a couple of years. As you and I both know, huge issue for real estate pros that they don't talk to people they served in the past for whatever mental block they have.
Right.
And they just can't get over that fear of reaching out. So tell us about getting over that fear yourself.
Well, I was a first-time home buyer in 2006, and my interest rate was 8.57 or something like that. And so when I talk to people now, I go, it's just a swing. It's cyclical. And I didn't even know it was a high interest rate, which a lot of our first-time home buyers don't know it's a high interest rate now. We're the ones that talk about it, not the public as much, right? We're the ones that put fear in people. So people just want to buy a home. And then when you go, well, the interest rates are high now, they're thinking, are they? Because what they care about is payment.
I'm taking a picture of that moment because my editing team had better clip that out as a perfect little TikTok reel thing. So true, though.
I was so happy to be a first-time home buyer. I didn't care that, you know, the interest rates were 8.57.
That's right. Why were you happy to be a homeowner? Tell me about that. Do you remember 2006? Because that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And what did it feel like when you were at the closing table? And frankly, do you remember the feeling of looking at the deed of trust and it says the last payment? That time it would have been in 2036. And now somebody signs and it says the last payment's in 2053. Did you have a feeling about that? Or were you only looking at a different perspective?
I was just so happy. My realtor gave me my keys and I was like, I own a home. I had rented all my life. I didn't come from a family of homeowners. So I was like one of the first homeowners in my family. I grew up in the hard knocks of North Philadelphia. I was so ecstatic and I didn't care about interest. I could afford it. That's what I was concerned about. I could afford it. And I felt lucky and I felt fortunate and blessed. So let's talk about their dreams. Let's talk about their aspirations, not talk about interest rates and the economy and the politics behind it. And so many realtors go down those avenues and it's just like they ruin the whole experience. You know what the buyer says? Well, maybe I'll just wait. Oops, I talked too much.
And how many of those people, though, are mad right now because they've been waiting? And been waiting and been waiting and been looking since 19 and 20. And now since 19 and 20, it's not just rates that have gone up, it's prices that have gone up because they got into just wait mode because they were being fed a negative narrative. Since we don't have enough inventory out there, this is no surprise to anybody. I want to hear about that first house though. Was the house what you wanted or what you thought you wanted? Or did the house matter less than having a house?
I trusted my realtor. Yeah. She goes, Chris, this is for you. And I'm going to tell you, I walked in the kitchen and the kitchen was Granny Apple Green. That's the green ones, right? Is that the Granny Apple Green?
That's a Granny Smith.
Granny Smith, yes. And that was the color of the walls with black and white checker backsplash. And I was like, I know, right? But I thought that was for me because she goes, the way you dress, your style, I saw this kitchen. She said, I showed it to another customer and I said, no, this is Chris Wright's house. So, and I did. I really liked it. So I was attracted to that kitchen.
All I can picture is a diner right now with the black and white backsplash.
In 2006, that was the shit.
Yeah, but if you go back 10 more years, you get the glass blocks in the master bathroom too.
If I saw that house now, I'd probably gag. But at that time, I was like, wow, this is it. This was before home shows. There was no HDTV back then.
That's true. The expectations were different before you stared at that channel all day. You're totally on point with that. But I'm hearing you say something else, too, that happens in real estate all the time.
Yeah.
The weirdest phenomenon, and I don't think we ever talk about it, but she looked at that house with somebody else. But she said to herself, I got somebody else that belongs in this house. And how many of us have shown a house to somebody and it fits their needs? It goes somewhere else. Then we show the same house to multiple clients and it lands. It's such a weird thing. It can't be coincidental. I'll just say it's probably got God moments that drop us into those places. Mm-hmm. It wasn't intention for you at first until she saw it and connected it.
Right. Because there was no Zillow.
Thank heavens.
Yeah. There was no .com. So it's not like we searched for houses online and got to see pictures. We only saw the outside. We drive by, we saw a sign. Unfortunately, we called the number on the sign. And we said, I want to buy this house, I think. You know, that's how we did things. And that's how I met her. I called the sign and she said, what house are you in front of? I gave her the address. She said, let's meet. We met at a diner that same day, which is near that house. And after talking to me, she said, that's not the house for you, but I'm glad we met.
So was she the listing agent or was she the desk agent?
She was the listing agent. Her name and number was on the sign. We met at a diner near the house. She's, I could take you in, but I want to sit down and talk to you first. And I tell agents all the time, sit down with your people and do consultations and talk to them about their wants, needs, and desires.
And then she did not sell her own listing.
She did not sell her own listing because she met me and talked to me and said, I don't think that's the house for you. Based on everything that you're telling me and about your family and about your generation and where you come from, I'm going to look for the perfect house for you.
So this is the opposite, right, of the mainstream media message about real estate agents who are just trying to shove you into any house to make commission. She's doing it in that consultative, educational way that I honestly think most good realtors operate that. We only talk about the negative, right?
Right.
Interest rates and the narrative we feel. She took a different pathway because it was the best thing for you.
Mm-hmm. And she said, let's meet at a diner and bought me breakfast. First time she met me. And for the first 15 to 20 minutes, we didn't talk about real estate. We talked about me, my mother, my family. Finally, she got to, what are you looking for in a house, Mr. Wright? And I was like, wow. So she taught me, you know, 10 years before I got in the business or whatever, how to treat customers. I've lived by that pretty much my whole career.
And also how to be very wise with your dollars, because breakfast is the cheapest meal to buy for somebody. So she was really smart about that.
Mm-hmm. She was good. She was good.
Okay. So you had a great experience. What got you into real estate? Because again, back to the narrative piece, I've heard so many agents that got into the business because their agent was the worst. And they said, this agent sucked. I'm going to get in and do the business well. You saw the business done well and got in.
I did.
And obviously she has been a guiding light for you for a long time for the way that she conducted herself. So tell us why you decided to get in after all that.
Because I had met a really good real estate agent in my first experience. And on my second experience, I had a really bad real estate agent.
The balancing act. Hmm.
And I was thinking, I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, knew I could work for myself. I'd been in sales for years. And at first of all, I thought, I'm making a lot of money for a lot of people in Wall Street. I could do this, use these same skills for myself. And then I said, if I do this, I'm going to do it like that first realtor. The second time I had an agent, I saw her once. She showed me the house and I never saw her again for the rest of the transaction. She didn't even show up for the inspection. No one from her office showed up for the inspection. And then I called her and I said, isn't the inspection today? Because the inspector was outside the door. She was like, oh my God, let me send someone over.
So how did you find that agent?
That was another one. I had moved to a new area for my pharmaceutical company at the time. And I was house hunting on my own, just driving around neighborhoods looking at homes. Again, I didn't know Zillow. And I found the house and I called the name on the sign because I didn't know about listing agents, buying agents. I found my first agent on a sign. I found my second agent on the sign. I thought this is how you do it. So now I understand when people do that today.
So you didn't ask your friends at your new company about, hey, anybody got a real estate agent?
I did not.
You had such a good experience. You had no reason to do anything different than the first
time. I thought I would find another good agent in a new city, right? Just like I did the first time.
Any ways to unpack what was happening while you were selling drugs? I just want to add that in there because that's my favorite thing to say about people who worked in pharmaceuticals.
Right.
While you're out selling drugs, but you had a paradigm in mind. If you call the sign, you're going to get a good person who's going to listen and find you the right house and show a level of care and professionalism. So you followed that same pathway and got an entirely different result, which is also one of the biggest frustrations in real estate that the consumer does have because there are so many options out there for agents. I mean, there's a million different business models. If you have a million different agents, and the consumer's expectations might be wildly different than what they get. And so when you've seen it from different angles, tell me how that shifted your mindset when you first got in versus what you were seeing even in your own office.
People are scared. Buying a house is a really big part of your life. I felt that I have to squelch the fears. And I learned that when I sold everything, whether I sold pharmaceuticals, I was in telecom, I sold communications solutions for whole offices. And I met a lot of first-time business owners who would buy an office or get an office, and now I have to set up their communications, their IT, their phones, their internet. And when they heard how much it was going to cost, especially in the mid-2000s, and you had to pay per desk, per phone, per line, and you had to buy bandwidth and all that kind of stuff, and they weren't ready for that. So they were really scared. So when I got into sales, I realized that first thing I need to do is squelch people's fears and let them know I'm here to guide you through this, like my first realtor did. I'd like to be that person. I met a couple the other day, and I was their second. They came to the showing with the unconditional release from the other agent, letting me know, Chris, just want to let you know we're free and clear and we can work with you.
Odd, but we're grateful for paperwork. Makes things
right. Paperwork clean. I was like, I typically didn't want to see that, but that's fine because it had the agent's name on it and everything, right? Didn't see the name. But let me ask you a question. Why did you fire your agent? And they said, she was just so negative. Yeah, everything that we wanted, or every time we made a suggestion for ourselves, she steered the other way. And she made us doubt ourselves. She made us doubt our decisions. And I said, there's a way to recommend things without making you feel bad about your decision. And so they are in love with me now. And I think they want to take me home and put me in their kennel. I want to make people feel comfortable about a big decision they're about to make.
All right. So, I mean, you do a lot of work with other agents too, whether it's through Women's Council, where you serve with leaders, or what you're doing out there with speaking and coaching yourself. Yeah. But now I've got to wonder how many agents have slowed their own business down by absorbing the negativity instead of saying, there's business out there. So the idea of scarcity versus abundance obviously shows up those different ways in what you're communicating. And I'm just sitting here wondering, because I get the question, I know you get it too, of what do I do? I'm nervous about the markets, and the agents are feeling nervous, and then they show that to the public, and then they wonder why nobody's buying from them. But if I go to a restaurant with a skinny chef, I'm not staying either because something's not right.
Someone says to me, like, you're really getting back into the business at a bad time. An agent said that. And I go, if you think it's a bad time, then you get out and make room for those who want to do this and know they can do this. I have no fear at all. And here's the other thing. When I left, I didn't leave all the way. I just dabbled. I'm one of the people that know, I don't believe you can do real estate part-time. I heard one of your podcasters say that to one of your guests, and I understood what she meant. And a lot of part-timers will say, well, I do this very well part-time. Yeah, you're a small percentage. But we do try and sway away people who say, well, I just want to do it part-time. I want to dabble. You can't dabble in real estate because you're dabbling with people's lives.
Are you a real estate professional and struggling to make videos? I know you're watching mine because that's easier than making your own, but you really do wish you had your own YouTube channel, and you wish that phone would ring and you would not have to go out and like people that you don't like online. You'd rather have them talk to you. Or do you have a YouTube channel and the videos aren't doing anything and you don't know how they're missing the mark and you haven't found those amazing neighbors who really would love you? Well, you should know that my friend Karen Carr, she teaches you how to make your YouTube videos a true evergreen sales funnel. She will teach you how to make videos that are simple. Aha, you don't have to start from scratch. She will give you the framework. You don't need bells and whistles. You don't need a big fancy videographer. And the best part is, the framework she gives you gets prospects in your zip code calling you when they're ready to buy or sell. And that doesn't happen just today. It happens for the long haul because YouTube is an evergreen strategy. And here's the craziest part about it. She kicks this off with a 3-day challenge. So you can carve out 3 days, and it's not the whole day, by the way. It's just a little bit of time in 3 days in a row. The cost is $27. So $9 and $9 and $9, or basically, because of inflation, a pumpkin spice latte, a pumpkin spice latte, and a pumpkin spice latte. So in exchange for 3 of your overpriced, amazing, yummy fall beverages, you could get all the information you need to jack your business for next year. She'll teach you how to set the channel up. She'll teach you how to get viewers to stay with you once they find you. She'll teach you where to do the research, which is probably the best thing I learned from her, to be honest. And She's going to teach you how to make videos that actually create conversation. And all of this is going to jack you in Google without spending a lot of money on Google AdSense. Shh, don't tell Google I said that. But what you should know is that this hot deal challenge right here, $27, 3 days with more information than you can shake a stick at, is at videobossagent.com/Lee Brown, because that's a special deal for y'all. So Video Boss Agent. So videobossagent.com/Lee Brown, one word, to get signed up. I've taken the class more than once. I'm promising y'all, it is absolutely worth it. And if you're looking for the answer to make 2024 a different kind of real estate business, this is exactly where you want to be. I'll see you there. There you go. And hello, the liability we have as professionals, if you're doing one transaction a year because you ran into somebody, how much risk are you at because you don't understand what the paperwork says and what you had them sign, or you're behind on the regulatory updates at the state licensing body? I mean, I wouldn't want to carry that kind of risk. And
no,
I teach the consumer how to ask that question. And I say that, and there's going to be somebody watching this, like you said, oh, but I do it well. I'm not saying you can't do it well. If you do one transaction a year, you might be so meticulous and great. However, there's muscle memory involved with everything in life. And if I go on January 1st and never go back, I'm never going to be fit.
No. I mean, would you hire a part-time attorney?
Especially not if it's something that matters. Like, you might hire a part-time attorney to finish your will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But let's just say you're getting divorced, or we're setting up a new corporate entity.
Right.
Somebody who really knows the ins and outs so that you're protected.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
Oh, man. You're dropping all the truth bombs, and I'm just sitting here thinking through all of them right now. But we're supposed to talk about stories on crazy shit in real estate. In your time, whether it's transacting real estate, or it's coaching other people, or it's speaking or leading, so you can pick any of the areas that we have seen Chris Wright operate and tell us what you've seen that made you go home and say, you are never going to believe this.
I'm dealing with a hoarder, hoarder house. Well, okay. So
they're painful.
Poor mom passed away. Bless her heart. Bless the family heart. Feel for them. And one of the kids just was hit hardest. Couldn't let it go. Left her hoarded house and moved into mom's hoarded house. Actually, mom's house wasn't hoarded, but the hoarder moved into the house and began hoarding. So now there's two hoarded houses involved. The worst part is she wouldn't leave because she was having daily conversations with mom. So the sister who has it all together, the executrix, is like, I signed the listing agreement months ago. And she said, Chris, I don't know when we're going to list this house. I can't get my sister out of it. She talks to mom daily, but the house is so hoarded from front. You have to push the doors open to get in each room. It's so much stuff.
You have to walk through the path of stuff to get through the room to room.
Yes. You have to step over. You have to hurdle things. You have to move things out the way. Wear gloves, wear a mask. It's so bad. And finally, she called me. She said, Chris, I finally got my sister out of the house, but now we need a junk removal. And wait, sister who wasn't supposed to be around came by and told us, you can't touch anything. I will call the cops. That was mama's. This is mine. That was mama's. And I'm like, we can't start this process. We got to get rid of this stuff. Finally, we've gotten to the point junk removal has cost $6,500.
Oh, that's a lot. Are we on the second dumpster?
Yeah, we are second dumpster. And so finally we're there, but it was so much stuff. And the executrix says, I don't want anything. I want the house empty so we can sell it and move on. I said, good. That way we don't have family members picking things out. And I want this and I want that. And nothing's literally is worth keeping. There's dog shit and everything. It was bad. So that is my horror real estate story. Here's the thing, though. My client, the executrix, loves me because you are so patient. And I want to say this to realtors out there. Patience, being non-judgmental, caring, giving that lady a hug and said, this is a lot. I know this is not your bag. You live 90 miles away. You don't want to come back and forth for this, to deal with this and deal with family. Just showing grace. And listen, you're not walking around like, oh my God, this stinks. This is horrible. You're there with a face, a smile, a hug. And I understand. No worries. I like you so much because you're being non-judgmental about this. And you're not judging my sister. You're not judging my family. This is just what it is. And that's what I'm learning from this, because after I get in my car, I'm thinking that's not the show that I perform for my customer. I need to be, you know, someone of caring and grace there. So it's a learning experience, but that's my crazy shit in real estate story, because I'm thinking you could go into this so differently with a different mental aspect about it, or just walk away from it and go, I'm not doing this. But you're helping someone. Like, who else is she going to call and said, who can I trust to come in and not judge me and my family and deal with this situation? And although I signed the listing agreement 3 or 4 months ago, they would just walk away and say, I checked on her all the time. How are we doing? Are we getting closer? How's the sister doing? Are we going to get her out of the house? What can I do to help? I'm going to put the key in the lockbox. Whoever you need to go in and out of that house during this time period, do that. And so it's working out, and listing's going to be on the market, you know, very, very soon, like within the next week or so. But it was a process.
Well, there's so many things you're talking about here, right? So real estate, so often we only look at the house, that the tangible asset, and you're thinking about staging and perfection and numbers and market. And for this family, the house is the least of their concerns, because they've got to manage a sister who's got to process her own set of issues, dealing with the stuff, which has become a burden, and she's not nearby. And so all of these things are going on. Plus, even the sister with her act together, she's grieving mama too. And so you've got all those interplaying things. And all I can think about is that many realtors are good at showing empathy. So I see you, I feel you. But what you're showing is compassion, which is, I want to walk with you in this. And there's a difference between noticing it and walking with somebody. And what a game changer that is for them. It's the same money either way. I think that's one of the, again, the misperceptions that the public has about us. We do everything for dollars, but you're going to make the same money working 6 months worth of handholding on this that you would have made if it sold in 5 seconds. And the time invested is wildly different.
Yeah.
But the emotional outputs are so much more rewarding in the way that you're compassionately walking with them through real estate. What a nice reward that is in this business and in this world of not caring to show them what it looks like.
She was so mad at her sister. She was like, I said, I put my arm on her shoulder and I said, everyone grieves differently. We just have to get through this.
Right.
I said, she's deeply affected by this. And I said, I think that you have to also have empathy for her, because you're the tough one of the family, which is why you're the executrix. This is why you were put on the wheel to handle this, because she couldn't handle that. Your brother couldn't handle this. Your son couldn't handle this. Only you were selected to handle this. And mom knew that. Your mom wants you to take care of your sister. She calmed down and she walked through the process slowly. And I think that's, you know, where we are.
And we're just going to add a little asterisk here for everybody watching this, whether you're in real estate or just a glutton for real estate. You ought to have a will. Do not leave your family to figure out the pieces without a will. So just going to add that there, because if mama dies without a will, you have all of these different personalities involved. Which one's going to step up and take care of it? You don't want the state being your
leader.
So get your
will. Isn't that the truth?
Woo! All right. So we'll just add in that little ad there. All right, Chris. So if somebody is looking for a coach or a speaker or a realtor in the capital region, we won't call it the upstate, we'll say the capital region, Springs, if you want to hang out with government people near Albany, how can they best find you and connect with you and all the offerings that you have?
Well, my website is really easy. It's chriswrightrealtyteam.com with a W. And yeah, you can find me everywhere. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, as you know, Instagram. I do crazy stuff just like Lee does. Love my film on my face on camera. I do a lot of fun tips and things like that about life. I don't just talk about real estate, because I think we talk about real estate too often sometimes. I love that you get on and you give scripture and you're not afraid to talk about Jesus, my best friend, and all that good stuff. You put it out there. And I love that you're a Christian with a little flappy tongue sometime. You'll let a few words slip out.
Hey, listen, Jesus did that too, though. If you look in the scriptures, when he went in the temple and they were selling stuff and he was mad, I don't think he walked through and said, bless y'all. It says he turned tables over. So I feel like my Jesus was spicy too. I believe so.
And I believe if shit was a word back then, he'd probably use it.
I think so. But you know, it's a noun and a verb. It's one of those old words. So we'll just put it in a little slack. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show and pouring into other realtors, whether it's through women's council or through instructing. I'm so glad that you have chosen to put this decade into real estate, and the next decade, who knows what that's going to hold.
Lee, thank you so much. I love your platform. I listen every week. Let's keep going.
All right, friends, say something nice about Chris down here in the comments, or just be grateful for Donna for marrying him and say something nice about Donna. If you want to be on the show, let me know. But most importantly, subscribe and tune in, and we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there, and if you have some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.